Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Christ's infinite superiority to Moses. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid man's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and sufficiency of his Son, Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The epistle to the Hebrews provides it, and Hebrews 3, 1 to 6 gives an encouragement in Christ's infinite superiority to Moses, the covenant mediator between God and Israel. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 3, 1 to 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some men, but he that built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Well, having established in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, that his readers were positionally holy brethren of God's spiritual family, partakers of the heavenly calling, the author of Hebrews stated that fact in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1a, to urge them to consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of their confession. I know in the King James it says profession, but it's confession, homologia. We get the word homologeo to confess our sins with it. So this is our confession of the Christian faith. So Jesus is an apostle and priest. Now Christ, as God's apostle, the word is apostolon, had been sent to earth as the Father's messenger. Apostolos is actually the words a messenger. Apostoleo is to send forth or to send someone out. That's what the apostles were. They were sent forth into the world as messengers of Jesus Christ. And they're messengers to man as Jesus was a messenger to man as an apostle from God. And as a high priest, he atones for the sins of his people. And this ministry is briefly mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18. You'll remember in those verses, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved Christ to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you and for me tonight as believers. And when we have sins, we confess him, he intercedes for us. We have weaknesses, he intercedes for our weaknesses. Weaknesses are the result of sin, or the effects of sin. And so we need his help. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to help them. Succor means help them that are tempted. And of course, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are without sin. So he can help us. He understands. He identifies with the weaknesses that we have. He went through it. He turned to the Father and says, Father, that one, that particular thing really is, it's bad. It's tough. This person's having a difficult time. And the Father, of course, the Father knows that, but there's nothing like someone who's a human being, who's been there, who's been through that, to say that to the Father. So that's what Jesus is doing at this particular point. Now, Jesus, as apostle and high priest, was faithful to the God the Father who had appointed him to these offices, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house of ministry. Now, the word house in this passage, it's not typical. It doesn't refer to the house of God in the sense of the people of God. It's not referring to the body of Christ. House is used in this particular sense, and all the commentaries agree with it, in the sense of ministry. The tabernacle was a house for the high priest, so to speak, and it was the home of their ministry. It was the realm of the ministry. Now, in our church buildings are not really a house per se, but the ministry that we have here at Nepaug Church itself is, you can liken it to a house. We have a pastor, we have deacons, we have Sunday school teachers, VBS ministries, we have Ladies Bible Study. These are all sub-ministries, but you can liken them to a house, and that's how the word house is used here anyway. And in this situation, he was referring to Numbers chapter 12. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, God makes an interesting statement about Moses. In verse 7, he says, "My servants, it is not so, who is faithful in all my house." He's not talking about the house of Israel. He's talking about the house of the ministry that God had set up. Aaron was involved in the ministry as a high priest. Moses was involved as the intercessor. Moses, God would speak to Moses, and then Moses would speak to the children of Israel. And so Moses was involved in the ministry. Aaron was involved. Aaron's sons were involved in the ministry. The Levites were involved in that house. They were helping the priests. So a lot of people. And then, of course, when the people would bring their sacrifices, they were involved in the ministry as worshiping the Lord, as worshipers in that house, that organization. Well, that reference to Moses being faithful in all God's house points to Numbers 12:7, where God extolled the ministry of Moses above the ministry of all other humans in Israel, and hence in the human race in Moses' era. And I'll keep focusing on that context in Numbers chapter 12. It's very interesting, the passage here that we have. In Numbers 12, in the context, Miriam and Aaron had criticized their brother Moses out of jealousy for God's using him as his predominant messenger. It's interesting, normally when you talk about people in a family, you would mention the men first and then the women. But in this situation, Miriam is mentioned first because she was the head critic. But the very fact that Aaron pleaded with Moses later for God to remove leprosy from her shows that Aaron was egging her on. There are complexities that occur in brothers and sisters, I know, because I have two daughters and a son, and when they're raised up, one will egg the other on, and the other one is the front runner who's out there mouthing it, all right? And that's the person that gets into trouble. But there's an aching, there's someone who's aching behind this. So that's what was happening. Aaron was aching behind it. But Miriam was out there, she was mouthing the criticism. Very interesting. So they criticized their brother Moses out of jealousy for God's using him as his predominant messenger. Now let me just read Numbers 12, 1 and 2. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Actually, it was Cushite women, and not all Cushites were black. This might have been a non-black, we don't know. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" That's the real issue. The issue is jealousy. "Has he not spoken by us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation." And they came. It's like a parent saying, "All right, Jim, Jack, and Joe, step forward." Okay, I got a word. And God's just treating him just like his kids. Okay, all three of them, come on. And the Lord spoke suddenly to them. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both stepped forward. Now, God wants Moses out there because he wants him to hear this. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream." That's how God had spoken, possibly through Aaron and through Miriam in the past. Miriam, as you know, had led, remember after the crossing of the Red Sea, she had led the women in praise with the tambourines. So she was really a spiritual leader for the women, kind of like the head of the ladies' fellowship of Israel, all right? Where Moses was the head and Aaron was his spokesman, but Aaron was the high priest. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. In other words, God says, when I communicate with Moses, it's different from the rest of y'all. I speak to him just as a man speaks to a man. We don't use a vision. We don't use dreams. I'm going directly to him. And the reason for this is because, and he shall behold, therefore, because he was faithful. He was such a faithful man. He didn't have any self agenda at this particular point. It had been beaten out of him because of the 40 years in the backside of the wilderness. He'd gotten really humbled at that particular point. And this shows that this is a side lesson in and of itself. You really want to be used of the Lord, allow that pride to get whipped out of you. So there's no pride left, and it's just humility. Then the Lord can really use you. My servant is not, Moses is not so who's faithful in all myself and all mine house. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth, even clearly or apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord he shall behold. In other words, a general outline of the Lord he will behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, which is a serious case. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us." Notice how he's confessing, he's part of this. "Wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one who is dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when she comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her then be shut outside of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again and again." So she was shut out and she was healed. So God rebuked Miriam because she was the mouthpiece in this. But he gave her leprosy. And that was like a very strong rebuke. Moses interceded, but Aaron confessed. We were involved. He's confessing, "I was behind this, I pushed this." And so the Lord handled this situation. But he handled it in front of Moses. And this is designed to encourage Moses. Moses, you know, when you get criticized from your brother and your sister in ministry, it can hit you pretty hard. And so God wanted to remove that pressure from Moses so that he wouldn't pull back. He would go ahead and keep asserting his leadership. God needed a leader. He got 2 million people out here in the nation of Israel. He needs someone who's a strong leader. The last thing he needs is family members fighting against him. So that's what the Lord did. He corrected this. So God heard the criticism. He verbally addressed Aaron and Miriam. He called them to come out to the tent. The Lord descended in his pillar of the cloud to the door of the tent. He called Aaron and Miriam to come out to him, so they exited the tent where he addressed them. And God explained that he made his revelation known to the prophets in their midst by way of a vision or a dream. Not Moses. Moses was faithful in all God's house of ministry. So with Moses, God spoke face to face with clarity because of his faithfulness. So Aaron and Miriam were not to speak against Moses out of jealousy for his predominance as God's messenger to Israel. Miriam then, likely the chief critic of Moses, was struck with leprosy until Aaron asked Moses to intercede for them, confessing their sin, and Moses interceded and Miriam was cured of her leprosy. However, though God had elevated Moses above Miriam and Aaron, who he headed the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron did, due to Moses' faithfulness, Jesus was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as Christ built the house of ministry, had more honor than the house of the ministry of which Moses was a part. Moses hadn't built the ministry. God had. God built it. Now, in the church, Christ, who is our head, he built the ministry. I see this as a pastor more and more. I'm constantly amazed at how God puts the church together, but he puts it together. And the people he has here at this time is exactly what is needed at this church at this time. I see it. I see it very, very clearly. And it's Christ who's building the ministry. He's building the house of the ministry itself. So Moses was certainly highly exalted in Israel for his role as a covenant mediator between God and Israel, having God speak with him face to face, unlike any other prophet in Israel. But Moses was still a human servant of God, and a servant to testify of those things that were to be spoken later with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, Christ is the son over his own house of ministry in the church era. The author then gave a solemn warning that we are a part of that household ministry as believer priests if, notice the if, If we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope in Christ without reverting back into Judaism, that's the temptation these people faced. The conditional if clause in the protasis uses the particle aeon with a subjunctive form of the verb kateko. I know that's Greek to you, but this is very important. That means it's a third-class condition that presents a probable future condition, but not a sure one. In other words, if you probably will hold on to, but you don't necessarily do it. And if you don't necessarily do it, you're going to lose out on this household. Now, the author is not hinting at a loss of salvation. He's hinting at a loss of participating in the ministry that Christ set up for the church. Paul the Apostle warned of the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And when I read this, it always causes me to think. In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:27, here we go. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. By being a castaway, it didn't mean I'm going to lose my salvation, but I will be disqualified in the ministry. Paul lived in fear of ending up being disqualified so he couldn't serve the Lord. We can get to the point as believers where if we depart from following the Lord, that we're no longer useful in his ministry. And he kind of slam dunks us right out of it. And we miss out. And that's the warning that Jesus is providing here through this passage. If we hold fast the confidence of the church. See, these people were in danger of slipping back into Judaism. If they slipped into Judaism, they would stop serving the Lord. And if they stopped serving the Lord, they'd miss out on the blessings that God had for them in his ministry in the church. So the lesson is, though Moses was the greatest human messenger of God to Israel and thus to the world in his day, he was only a servant in God's ministry where Christ is the Son and builder of God's ministry for believers in the church. We must thus cleave to Christ and not turn aside to another ministry lest we miss out on God's blessing. So may we not turn from serving Christ to another ministry lest we suffer the loss of God's blessing. Now, you and I, we're not Jewish, and we don't have the temptation of going back into Judaism, okay? But it's interesting, there is an application in this section. We can get involved in things that depart from the ministry assignment that God has given us. I've had people try to get me off involved in prison fellowship, and there's nothing wrong in prison fellowship. The Lord may open that up for some people. But for me, if I get involved heavily in that, it detracts from a ministry in the church, and that can really hurt it, and I can lose out on the Lord's blessing. Sometimes there are Christians who want us to be involved in Boy Scouts. Now, the Boy Scouts organization has been a fairly decent organization. And, you know, it does a lot of good. You know, becoming an Eagle Scout is a very important thing. Even the military recognizes Eagle Scouts, and many Eagle Scouts are allowed to come in to the military with special honors. But, you know, you can get so wrapped up in Boy Scouts, you actually get away from the Lord's work. So there are all sorts of things. Susan B. Anthony, and et cetera. These are all good works. But if they detract from the calling that God has given us, then we get in trouble of missing out on the blessing that God has for us. So there's a real challenge I see here. And I have faced this challenge a number of times in my life. The challenge of getting sidetracked away from the major calling that God has for us. And it's something we need to watch out for so that we remain faithful. And if we remain faithful, then we'll be blessed of the Lord.